in North Central Indiana. It's the Insurgent Radio Network with Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, broadcasting live from the bunker in Warsaw, Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the deep meet to drink, sometimes deep. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. You can write your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the Insurgent, or just old plain box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Here's Tommy.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling right here from North Central Indiana on a warm and muggy day, but overcast. Not as hot so far as yesterday, but I understand Wall Street out there in the east is melting today. Everybody's melting, I guess, east of Philadelphia. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. If we had a magic button, there used to be an old kid show on the radio when I was a kid. They had a magic frog, and he'd be invisible, and they'd say, punch the magic clanger froggy, boing, and he'd become invisible. Well, if I had that little thing in my hand, I'd say, to all the cities where it's over 100 degrees, we're going to give you 24 hours to get all the non-whites out of your community. We're going to turn off the air conditioning. Yeah! You got 24 hours to get rid of all the non-whites out of your community and a lot of big-shot Jews. Well, we're going to turn off the air conditioning. What do you think would happen? I think they do that real quick, don't you? Yeah, I do. Well, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Spread the word. We'll get some more people on the radio show. Get some more people on the subscribing to the show and get people first. Maybe they want to go sample the shows at the archives, which we've now made free. But we're hoping that people will send in some donations to help assist us with our website and so forth. Yeah, they might as well subscribe to our radio show because it's one of the few places you're going to get it straight. I mean, even a lot of racial separatists. Radio shows and websites are not going to give you it as straight between the eyes as we do. Well, I want to start off the show with some, it's a great find. I was shocked when I saw this, and I'm thrilled to death. So let's listen to what it is.
Hi. I know up to my face. Hi, my name is Rachel, and I want to share with you this really great new iPhone app that my friends have developed. It's called GPS, and what it does actually is locate Jews and Jewish places. So
yeah.
I thought we could check it out together.
Okay. I'm right behind you,
here
babe.
We go.
Oh, yeah, I see one. There he is. My God, it works. Oh, look at that thing.
Okay, so now these moving dots you see,
yeah,
those are Jews. So let's go check it out.
Jews moving down the street, man, with this thing.
So far, nothing, but let's just wait.
Okay.
Got one.
Oh, there he is. I see him right on your little finder you hold in your hand.
Getting another one.
Another Jew coming up.
Definitely Jew.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And look. Kosher seafood. Fabulous.
Kosher seafood. There it is. This is a real neat invention. Here's a Jew on the street.
Sorry, man. That's all I got. I gave the rest to Madoff.
Oh, man. Oh, she passed up a nigger. She knew he wasn't a Jew.
Too bad he's not Jewish. Look. See all those Jews? Let's go see where they're going.
There's a whole bunch of Jews there. She's got it right on the viewfinder. Where in the hell are they at? Let's go upstairs and find them. Here we go. Boy, she goes fast.
It works. How cool.
What is it? Some kind of a Zoom meeting. A whole bunch of people, man. That's pretty cool. I like that. A Jew finder.
Boy, that was a great invention. Wow. Talk about technology. I guess some Jew invented that. It's called a Jew finder. We all got to get one of those. Now, I'm going to forward this YouTube thing up there to our NAV, and you can see the video of this and this gal I was following around there and finding the Jews, and it's interesting. She commented when she passed up this real black-ass Rastafarian kind of nigger, says, well, he's no Jew. Well, how does she know he's not a Falasha Jew? I don't know. Now, I don't know how much these things cost, but I think we got to have one in every city at least. Now, the person that sent that to me said, no, we got to get one of those developed for blacks. But why do we need a finder to find blacks? Why do we need an electronic finder unless they're hiding? The Jews, you see, they can meld in, you know. That's a little different story, you know, most of these white-skinned Jews, you know, and especially the younger ones. I mean, that chick that I was following around there was a pretty good-looking gal, and she could be mistaken for Eastern European or about anything you want. Well, we've had several comments on our interloper, and like I say, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but one of our supporters sent in a little email here. I toned it down just a little bit, as you can imagine. Hey, Tom, what a sissy crybaby this computer warrior is, scared about his fake email address being made public. Jesus Christ on ice skates. This person is supposed to be useful for fucking anything? If anyone is that scared of confrontation, go crawl in a hole somewhere and shoot yourself in the head. That's the way I feel about it. You should tell all these 99%ers exactly that, to get screwed. That fortune you're taking in, you deserve it anyhow, for all your labor, of course. Yeah, everyone who wants to listen to an hour radio show and that takes 3 hours out of your day to make, sure nobody knows you're going against the grain. You're good idea. If you're that much of a coward, don't listen to the show. If hiding in the dark to listen to your voice is the only revolutionary act you're capable of, we don't need you. You once said the white man is the most ruthless warrior that's ever walked this planet, but sometimes I wonder. Thanks, buddy. Well, I see that conservative, which all these right-wing Republicans have turned into. Alex Jones? He said, Alex Jones said about Israeli critics, weak-minded idiots, mentally ill, FBI agents. You know, all these right-wingers now are trying to out-anti-racist the left. It's unbelievable. You know, I hear Glenn Beck and all these guys are all trying to out anti-racist, the anti-racist. They're pretty funny, you know. In the old days, you know, they didn't say too much because they knew a lot of their constituents, a lot of their constituents were somewhat racial. I think they feel that they're safe now that they can come out. And I'm glad they're doing it because they're going to drive more of our good people out of the Republican Party, out of the conservative thing. And those are the kind of people we want. And so they're actually doing us a service there. Thank you, Alex Jones, you fake bastard. Well, here we go. Some wonderful news. Scientists confirm that oil is now in the Gulf food chain. Scientists with the University of Southern Mississippi and Tulane University in New Orleans have found droplets of oil in the larvae of blue crabs and the fiddler crabs sampled from Louisiana to Pensacola, Florida. The news comes as blobs of oil and tar continue to wash ashore in Mississippi in patches, with crews in the chartreuse vests out cleaning the beaches all along the coast on Thursday. and as state and federal fisheries from Louisiana to Florida are closed by the BP oil disaster, the AP is reporting that tar balls have now hit every single state on the Gulf Coast. Harriet Perry, director of the Center for Fisheries Research and Development at the Gulf Coast Research Laboratory, said fish are going to feed on crab larvae. We have also just started seeing it on the fins of the small larval fish. Their fins were encased in oil. That limits their mobility, so that makes them easy prey for other species. The oil is going to get into the food chain in a lot of ways. Let's see here. So there you go. Man screwing with evolution again. Man screwing with the environment. And, you know, the tremendous amount of fish that comes out of the Gulf to feed the United States and other countries has got to have an effect. Got to have an effect. Because, you know, we ship our food all over the world. The farmer ships grain and so forth all over the world. There's only so much. And come a big flare-up of who knows what, country could be starving to death in a few weeks. Well, poor old Rastus, Obama, his approval ratings are dropping like a rock. 54% disapproval. Yeah. So anyhow, there's a whole bunch of these outfits that check this kind of stuff. But that 54% disapproval and dropping is not very good. Well, here's another interesting one. Greer suing Florida Republicans for $120,000 severance package. Former Florida GOP chair Jim Greer is, as you know, in legal hot water for allegedly using his shell company to skim money from the party, the charges to which he pleaded guilty last week. But he's also suing the Republican Party of Florida, demanding the severance package he says was promised to him when the party ousted him in January. Greer was pushed in January as the party tried to scrub its image in the wake of the reports of lavish Republican Party spending. Party officials negotiated a severance package with Greer. According to Greer, that agreement is a binding contract. But according to the party, the agreement has never finalized and is null and void. The severance package offered Greer 11 months of consulting fees totaling $123,750. Nice, isn't it, boys and girls? Close to his annual salary of $130,000 plus health benefits, you see? That's these plutocrat Republicans, man, and the Democrats, but the Republicans play the goody-two-shoe all the time and cater up to the Christian Zionists, and they forgive him, boy. They always forgive him. I forgive him. He's a good man. You know, this this thing is so funny. Former Representative Mark Siljander, a Republican of Michigan, pleaded guilty today to obstruction of justice. That could get him 5 years, and acting as an unregistered foreign agent in connection with his work as a lobbyist for a group with terrorism ties. Terrorism, boy, that covers everything. According to a press release from the Department of Justice, Siljander, who served in the Congress from 81 to 87, pleaded guilty today to lying to federal investigators during their probe of the Islamic American Relief Agency. Siljander also pleaded guilty to receiving $75,000 from the group in exchange for lobbying the Senate Finance Committee to remove the IARA from its list of charities suspected of funding terrorists. Well, you know what that is? The terrorist in this case is somebody who's opposed to the actions of the State of Israel. I get extreme. Now, do you ever read of how many times have we read of Israeli or American Jews being picked up for their passing secrets to Israel? What do we got? One or two maybe in prison? And they were all the atomic spies for the Soviet Union. Were almost 99% Jews. People seem to forget that. Remember Julius and Ethel Rosenberg that got fried? That was amazing that they got fried. But if you help any group with any other country, you're a big bad terrorist. But if you're helping Israel, well, Israel is our ally, right? And we give her $7 million a day to keep her happy. Well, let's visit the domicile of Mr. Jum, our Jum man, Jumaloom. He's always coming out there and going out there in the jungle and coming back with a story. Let's look into this story. You owes it to me. I was inside a local dollar store the other day when I was suddenly pushed out of the way rudely by a big black hoe with the typical nigger attitude problem. She had a pile of old, dirty, used rubber mats in her arms that looked like they'd been inside her car since the Great Depression. She walks over to the Korean shop owner and his wife, plops them down on the counter, proceeds to start ranting about how the mats were no good, and how her grandma slips on them all the time. So she wants a refund for these old used mats, and she brought back when Elvis was alive. Her nappy head moved like a bobble-headed toy, you know, the way hoes move their heads when they have a tood and start flapping their sausage lips. I looked on in amazement as the Korean couple gave her a refund without so much as a word of complaint. Then it dawned on me that these tiny Asians were terrified of blacks in the area, and rightly so. Most of their businesses now come from muds because most of the white people have fled their animal ways, and if they piss off one of these apes, they'll either come back and vandalize the place or shoot them in a drive-by. This is not a nice state to live in anymore. Between the ghetto niggers, the wetbacks, gangsters, Asians, ragheads, packies, dotheads, queers, crooked cops, courts, and liberals, this state has become the toilet. Yeah. No decent person with an ounce of honesty would even thought of pulling such a niggardly stunt. Now you know where the old word came from in the beginning. But a nigger is a pain in the ass to all the people in business. You can't hire them without buying trouble. You can't fire them without getting more of the same. And you can't refuse without getting into even more. Niggers are a bane on society, and the liberals have helped them to become so. I don't know a single business owner that wants them in his store, no matter how much they spend. That's because you'll never make a dime off a nigger, and usually they'll end up costing you a fortune just for dealing with them. For decades, niggers have used white guilt, political correctness, affirmative action, and government blackmail to take advantage of white America. Well, remember, that's all done by white politicians, June. It was white politicians and the Jews that pushed this stuff in there. The niggers never could have done it on their own. I watched this fiasco go down, and suddenly it had enough. I looked at that worthless, thieving, loud-mouthed hoe and said, "You know, when I was in business, I flat refused to sell to blacks because of crap exactly like the shit you're pulling on these poor people right now." She bugged her huge, ugly eyes at me and said, "That's racist, motherfucker. You can't do that. The government will get your ass." My eyes narrowed and I said, "Damn right I'm a racist. You worthless niggers are nothing but a pack of thieving liars. And if this guy would allow it, I'd drop kick your worthless black ass right out of here. You wore those mats out, and now you come in here wanting a refund? You should have your ass kicked up between your shoulder blades, bitch." I said it calmly and slowly, and she could clearly see I meant it. "You can't talk to me that way, you fucking cracker. I gets my crew after you." I laughed in her face and scornfully and said, "Bring it on, you fat bush ape. I just love kicking black ass. Are you freaking stupid that you don't realize that I have people too?" And I can guarantee you that they're one hell of a lot meaner than any ape you can bring down here. Now get your stinking fat ass out of here before I decide to start kicking it right here and now. The bitch's eyes got real wide. She backed quickly toward the door, her attitude replaced by fear. She'd ran across a white she couldn't bulldoze, and she didn't know how to handle it. I called her bluff. I could still hear her ranting and raving out in the parking lot as she'd left. Having a white man run her ass off was really eating on her. I really do talk to these apes that way, and I make sure they know from the start that I'm not one bit afraid of them. This always throws niggers off balance because most whites will cow an instant to a coon when he starts flapping his lips. The chinks looked at me with a combination of curiosity and respect. "You're no afraid of blacks?" the man said. It was a statement, not a question. I shook my head. "Never fear 'em. They use it against you. Chase 'em off with a ball bat. The troublemakers will soon learn to stay away." The little Asian couple jabbered rapid-fire at each other in that guttural language of theirs. I hate the sound of it. It grates on my nerves. It has no grace or beauty and reminds me of what ants would sound like if they could talk. It's actually creepy. I waved and left. They smiled grateful for the rescue. There was no sign of old Duchella out in the parking lot, and I was able to finish my business in the mall without any more trouble. Privately, I'd hoped I'd run into her again sometime. I hate bush apes. All niggers think the world owes them a living, especially Whitey. "You owes it to me," is their national anthem. Blacks are a parasite race. They are genetically inferior to whites and can't function in the advanced white society, so they become one of two things, parasites or predators or both. Because of all the laws liberals have passed over the past few decades, niggers are a protected species. There's now laws against reacting to their evil, as if complaining about being victimized by these beasts is wrong. The only wrong thing here are all those laws and the corrupt people that created them and the mindless goons that enforce them. I no longer have any respect whatsoever for any branch of government and law enforcement. To me, they're all brainwashed thugs who get a big kick out of causing good people misery. If it were in my power, I'd forcibly take every liberal politician out of his nice safe mansion and make him live down here with the rest of white America and force him to experience the joys of diversity. Firsthand, I can't think of a faster way to get those laws repealed. But laws or no laws, I and most men like me ignore them anyway. We do not recognize those laws as legitimate, nor do we recognize those people as our leaders. They are criminals and are in power against our will. Since May, 5 highway patrolmen here in California have been killed on the highways by drunk and stoned wetbacks. 5! 3 of them in the past week alone. They're having a funeral every few days now to cover all the carnage. The governor gets on TV and spouts platitudes about what a great loss this is. But he still refuses to do anything about the invasion of these bastards that's causing these deaths. In every case, some drunk wetback lost control of his car, most of them stolen, and plowed into an officer while he was parked along the road. One who was on his bike was hit so hard that they had to cut his mangled body out of the wreckage of the car in front of him, where the wetback had literally piled, drove him into the metal. Of course, every one of these turds survived. I was recently driving down a freeway when I saw one of these Grapes of Wrath trucks that wetbacks are so fond of driving on the high-speed freeways. They take some old smoking beater with no insurance or license, pile it to ridiculous heights with their worldly possessions, with the crap teetering like a leaning tower of Pisa as it meanders down a freeway, shedding junk every few yards. Crap is continually bouncing down the freeway behind them, and drivers have to dodge an assortment of wetback-created hazards on a daily basis. Once I had had to dodge a freaking lazy boy that was sitting right in the middle of the speed lane. These people have no concept of how to conduct themselves in a civilized society and don't want to know. Well, I was cruising along doing 70 per when I came up behind one of these testaments to the joy of diversity. Suddenly, a large piece of angle iron the size of a large cat flew off the back of the sad junker and bounced down the freeway towards me. I swerved, but there was no way to avoid what was coming. That piece of iron bounced up high into the air, shattered my windshield, almost causing me to roll. Of course, old Pedro and his 15 wetbacks and wetlets and his pregnant troll of a wife continued on their merry way, not caring one whit about the damage they had just caused. Swearing I had to abort my trip and go immediately and have a new windshield installed, at my expense, of course. Thank you, liberal social Marxists. Well, if that wasn't bad enough, 2 weeks later, another wetback shattered the second windshield by kicking up large rocks from his truck that had no mud flaps on it, as required by state law. But since the truck wasn't licensed anyway, I doubt that a little thing like a mud flap ever crossed Pedro's tiny pea brain. So back in the glass shop I went. Bad enough, you say, right? Wrong. Last week, some wetback stole the complete wiper arm assembly off the passenger side of my windshield while I was parked at a restaurant. By the time I left, it was dark and raining like hell, so I turned on the wipers and immediately cut a large, deep gouge all across my windshield with the naked metal arm of what was now left of my wiper. After all, there was no way to see that the thing was missing in the weather, so it was a given this would happen. Another present from our fearless leader crew, who refused to seal the border and deport these bastards. Between the niggers and the wetbacks in this country, whites are having a harder time just to survive anymore. It's going to rapidly develop into a blood war if something isn't done soon. But just ask any wetback and he'll tell you that Whitey owes him a right to sneak in and rob us blind and breed us out of house and home. I don't care what the breed of mud you ask. They all honestly believe we owe them from everything we have. In reality, we owe them only one thing, a bullet in the ass. It's time to teach these parasitic bastards, the treasonous dogs that support them, a lesson about the dangers of failing to respect their betters. Never bow to or respect any of our so-called leaders. They are criminals, all of them, regardless of party. I can't think of more than a handful that aren't richly deserving of a firing squad. They're just a few examples of the evil outrages my race tolerates on a daily basis. And in fact, I haven't even scratched the surface. And the longer we wait to do something about these parasites and criminals, the harder it's going to be to root them out and remove them from power. Don't wait much longer, people. We're almost out of time. That's from our friend June. And that's a report from California of exactly the way it is, and that stuff is moving east, it's moving north, it's moving into the central states. I'm seeing more seedy Mexicans all the time, and I get right up to them, and I give them a badass, I give them a little Spanish, too, to let them know I know. But it's going to get, this shit is spreading all over the country, and it's spreading into the small towns, and they're buying up, churches are buying them houses. Churches are buying them houses and shoving them into it. I went to an auction not too long ago where a goddamn church was buying a house for a wetback. Oh, boy. Well, you got me wound up there, June. Thanks a lot. Okay. Well, I haven't checked our call tapes for quite a while, so let's see if there's any on here that make any sense. On our update line, how about that?
Hey, Tommy. Bob. Hey, that was hilarious, that song that you played, little take on Feliz Navidad. That's hilarious. I'd like to know who, next message you play, I'd like to know who did the song and where I can get a copy of that. That was friggin' hilarious. Hey, happy holidays to you, buddy. Have a good focus. Take care.
Boy, it must have been a long time since I checked this tape. That goes clear back to, what, Christmas? I think.
Hey, my five words is I have something to say. That's right. I have something to say. five words. Hey, Tommy, terrible Tommy, when the heck are you going to realize that the sun is symbolic of the sun? When the heck are you going to realize that the sun is going to return? When are you going to realize that the sun returns all the time? In spirit, of course. The sun's always returning. You know, Jesus loves you, Tom. Jesus loves your spirit, he loves your soul, but he really hates your dumb ass.
I remember that voice from California. I used to call in out there in California and get on the phone machine and just try to run me out of tape. Yeah, well, I don't care if Jesus hates my dumb ass. Because I drive a motor scooter. I don't ride on an ass. He can hate my ass all I want, but I don't even own an ass.
Hey, this from the vicinity of Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're talking about sending them back. I recently read Gore Vidal's Lincoln, and he was very keen on that idea of what he called colonization. So, check that out.
Yeah, well, the problem with Lincoln was he was a politician. He talked out of both sides of his mouth. That's the problem with Lincoln. And he did have tremendous opposition within his own party and all that kind of stuff. But there never should have been a civil war, and he could have made sure there wasn't a civil war. And the easiest thing the federal people could have done and all the industrialists is to pay the southern planters X amount of money for every slave and bought them and to even give extra money for them. It wouldn't even covered a few weeks of the war, considering the price of the Civil War that still were paying the price of the Civil War. If he had just bought them and sent them someplace, get them out of here, there never would have been a war. Can you imagine how much different the United States would be with all the blacks would have been paid for, rounded up, given their freedom in Africa and not here? No, Lincoln is not a hero of mine. In fact, most people who move us into war are not my friend. I think all presidents were war criminals. I think I can prove to you on beyond a shadow of doubt that every president we've had has been some type of war criminal.
Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday, Arrow Trucking went under 1,000 employees. They're nationwide. They have like 1,400 tractors. Just went underground, just vanished. And Gerald Fuentes right. 2012, America will look like Calcutta. The crime will be like Mexico. And maybe white people, hopefully white people, will finally wake up when they're eating the same food that Haitians eat, which is dirt, cooking oil, and rice as a daily staple. Maybe when they eat a cookie that's made from dirt, cooking oil, and rice, maybe white people will finally wake up and take our country back.
Outstanding, sir. Hang all these wood folks.
Folks, get your views on the Civil War right on target. That's why I'm very much opposed to people going around waving the Confederate flag. It symbolizes a system that never should have existed in the first place, that never would have existed if the rich landowners down south hadn't been too goddamn lazy to do their own field work or too goddamn cheap to pay another white man to do it for them. So it conspired with a bunch of wealthy northern merchants and Jewish shipowners to kidnap a bunch of poor damn African Negroes who had no desire to come over here in the first place. And now, 200-300 years later, we've got a Negro problem. Well, $50,000 apiece for every oppressed African Negro living in this country to be repatriated to their homeland. It'd be a bargain.
Merry Christmas to all of you. both of you, all of you, because I noticed it's now Tom and Mary Metzger, and just Merry Christmas. Looks like that golem George Soros is up to no good. As usual, they caught the five rabbis, but they didn't catch Soros. The rabbis and the mayors in New Jersey, they arrested, and the Israeli army was killing people for body parts. Well, guess what? George Soros bought $53 million in Ford stock and stuff. And anyhow, which connects him into the nigger pig, you know, police, jail, prison system, with the crooked cops, the crooked judges, and then they stick you in the mental hospitals and put you into the Henry Ford mental health nut house system, where, guess what, George Soros has that $53 million in stock between Ford Motor and their Ford Foundation, whatever. But the thing is that they're now killing people with psychiatric drugs. Oh, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights put out a giant ad in some of the health food magazines. It says, what kills people 2.5 times faster than homicide? And it says, psychiatric drugs. A white girl was the poster child. 3 weeks after they put her on 1 or 2 pills a day, she was dead. And there's 9 million like her nationwide. They're knocking off white people. And the thing is that they signed the back of their driver's licenses. So whether they're in the Henry Ford nut house system or whether they're on psychiatric drugs at home, they're all ending up as body donor parts. This goddamn fucking Jewish mob is really killing people. Oh, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, they have about 100 psychiatrists speaking against psychiatric drugs. They have former drug company employees speaking against them. Even there was an attorney general from one state. There might have been more. I fell asleep during part of it, so it was a 2-hour DVD. Pretty unusual. The fucking Jews are killing people for body parts. Now they got George Soros in on it because the rabbis got arrested for using their synagogues. Oh, that's disgusting. But anyhow, Merry Christmas to all of you guys. Bye.
Well, there you go. You see how old some of my tapes are here. I got to apologize for that. That's clear back at Christmas time. I have known this lady for a long time. She used to come up to the Bob Miles meetings up at Chautauqua, Michigan. She lives up in Michigan, and she's been a racial gadfly for a long time and hot on the Jews' tail. Yeah. So anyhow, well, it's the whole pharmaceutical industry. The whole pharmaceutical industry, and then here in Indiana, Eli Lilly, who has killed probably more people than the Jews think were killed in World War II with their over-the-counter killer drugs. They own the governor, pharmaceuticals. They own the governor, Mitch Daniels, and they own a hell of a lot of Senator Lugar, this guy who never seems to get out of office. I don't think he's ever even going to die. So, I mean, people are going, they're going ape about the drug cartels at the border. Well, primarily because they're shooting at each other. But the drug cartels that you call legal with an outpost on every corner called a drugstore are killing more Americans of all races than drug cartels could have ever killed. The over-prescription of over-the-counter drugs and, the over-prescription of drugs and then over-the-counter, all these advertisements on television, they got the whole country are a bunch of drug addicts. And the senior citizens, I guess the reason for that, they just want to get the senior citizens out of the way, so they're making hypochondriacs out of all the senior citizens and take all this stuff until they may die faster, make room for a mestizo to take their place.
I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you've done for us over the years, but I was wondering if you're ever going to do a show or discuss White Pride Worldwide Day, March 21st of every year, of course. There are groups that are even going to try to do Chicago for 2010. I'm sure that's going to shoot off a lot of different things, but there are many different people, and I've talked to leaders of such organizations such as the Aryan Nations and many others, and people overseas that have no idea that this holiday even exists. But I have found that when I speak to people about it, they're like, wow, I didn't have any idea there's a holiday such as that. And it stands out to people, and people want to participate in it, or they want to know more information. So I was just wondering if maybe you're going to shoot anything out there to let other people know about this holiday, because I'm sure that people call your hotline from just about everywhere in the world, so it would definitely be a help.
Well, I hate to burst the man's bubble, but most of that kind of stuff, I was involved in starting it in the first place. If you go back, which most of these guys weren't even born, I guess, way back, I'm almost positive that I was one of the initiators of the White Pride Worldwide slogan. As I recall, I was involved in that way back. So all of a sudden people say, why don't you celebrate that? Well, oh, man, you can't win for losing. See, one of the kept secret by the right wing is, and a lot of the things I do, the right wing leadership that I really have not much to do with at all, keep things that I do secret. You know, like we've had an Aryan calendar intermittently for years that lists all these days celebrating the birthdays of white heroes and the times when we've had our first Aryan fests and birthdays for famous people and everything. That's been going on for years. Now, like coming up on June the 30th, Kathy Ainsworth Day. Have you ever heard of any right-wing outfit picking up that holiday that we created for Kathy Ainsworth? Most of the people in the right-wing racial movement don't even know who Kathy Ainsworth was. This is why I don't want to be around the what right wing anymore, because they're a bunch of hypocrites. They talk about people who have died for the cause and all that kind of stuff, but they don't eulogize them hardly at all. You know, all they talk about is Adolf Hitler and stuff like that. But they don't eulogize the people down on the streets like Kathy Ainsworth and people like that, and there's dozens and dozens of them. We've even made a chart for where a lot of them are buried, and you can go on the internet now and find out where they're buried. I mean, whether it's Joe Tomasi or just all kinds of people that we know where they're buried and have advocated putting flowers on their grave and so forth. But you're not going to hear that in the right wing. See, here's this guy calling up, oh, you don't celebrate White Pride Worldwide Day. But you guys never celebrated anything we ever put forward from war, because the right wing leaders didn't like it. They don't like what Tom Esker comes up with. Now, I didn't hear hardly anything. Did I hear anything in the right wing about the 4th of July, which we call White Revolution Day? Yeah, we started that a long time ago. It's White Revolution Day. Our calendar, we celebrate all these great people like Nathan Bedford Forrest and, you know, all of them down through, and many of the people have been involved in the right wing. We carry most of the birthdays and celebrate them. Even Yuri von Kahl, Ben Klassen, when he was born, when he died, all that. And you know, people like Huey Long, they're all through our Aryan calendar. Even though I'm not identity anymore, identity Christian, we put in the heroes of the Christian identity people. I mean, Wesley Swift. How many right-wingers you're talking about Wesley Swift? Well, I knew his wife very well. I used to visit his wife every once in a while. And we have National POW Awareness Day. Did any of the right-wingers have that? That is on September the 15th, National POW Awareness Day. You know why? They want to forget there's POWs. Don't ask David Duke and these people about POWs, because they don't give a shit about POWs. Never did, never will. Unless they turn out to, unless they become a POW. We've got, celebrating Ian Stewart's, birthday, and when he died, we got Birth of the Order, David Tate's birthday, all the POWs are in there, even have Grandparents Day, you know, in our Aryan calendar. But I don't recall any right-wing group ever saying, can we reprint your calendar, or will you sell us your calendar, or will you give us the rights to do something with your calendar? Never been asked. I won't say absolutely never. I may be a couple of guys, but they weren't leaders of any organizations. I've never heard the National Alliance or any of the, even Aryan Nations or any of them, say, hey, we'd like to copy that and distribute ourselves. No. The right wing are a bunch of jealous bastards. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, if they don't come up with it, it doesn't exist. And that's why they're such losers. We celebrate German Pioneer Day and all types of things like that. How many of the right wing talk about Sam Bowers or even know who he was and how important he was to the Klan and the, during the Civil Wrongs Movement and when he died, anything about him? I mean, no, when a right-wing racist dies, he's just forgotten in no time. You know, George Lincoln Rockwell's hardly talked about anymore. All they talk about is Hitler, and they don't even talk about George Lincoln Rockwell hardly at all. On December 8th, how many of these people celebrate the Whidbey Island standoff with Robert Matthews, where he was murdered, assassinated by the feds? We celebrate National Martyrs Day on December 8th. How many right-wing groups do you know that have caught on to this yet, or even recognized it? Anyhow, we've got just about everything that's important in the racial cause in this calendar. But do you know how many people have ordered these calendars in the past, a new calendar? Less than 100. I'd say maybe less than 50. So that gives you an idea of what's happening out there. There's only a small percentage of white people within the racial struggle who are worth anything. I'm telling you, that I've got to be straight with you. Before you put your life on the line, you got to understand that only a very, very small number of white people who claim to be white to the death are worth anything. And I want you to know that before something comes down the pike where you have to put your life on the line. Think about it very, very carefully. And think even much harder if you're going to work with somebody else on a project. Because most of the white people are not worth it. They're not worth it at all. Anyhow, if you're interested in us continuing this Aryan calendar that we've, like I say, we didn't put out one this year. We put out one in 2009, but like here again, I said, there was only a handful of people even ordered them. So if you want to get one going for 2011, contact Merchandise Resist at yahoo.com and tell our webmaster that, hey, you want to get in on that project of putting out a calendar. And we'll put out one, but we're not going to put a calendar out for a dozen people. I hope you can tell. Sometimes I get really, really pissed off. Sometimes I get really, really pissed off. And other times I'm just sort of average pissed off.
Hi there, Mr. Metzger. Hello. I just wanted to comment on the G-PAL, which is formerly Gun-PAL. I emailed you maybe a few months back that I stated that I believed that they were a right-wing outfit. Well, all our worst fears may come true that they are a Jew-think, Jew-controlled outfit. Gun-PAL was nothing but a anti-white, anti-whatever you want to be called. Organization, and you found that out, and I found that out also. But also, I also wanted to tell you that the president El Chapo up there missed the
individuals that were killed, I'm not talking about the rich capitalists that were in charge of BP, but the ones that died on the rigs out there in sea. He missed the memorial to them, like he did a couple other things. And also, he went to Barbara Boxer's fundraiser and missed the memorial for the memorial to the BP, I guess it was the BP rig explosion. The workers up there on the rig, the workers, now I'm not talking about the rich capitalist assholes that are in charge of everything. I'm talking about the workers that are working on these rigs. They're in very dangerous situations. He snubbed that and went to Barbara Boxer's fundraiser. I'm sure you know who Barbara Boxer is, of course. You've been in California long enough to know who that, well, I think we all know what the word is for that individual. But anyway, I just wanted to touch base on you with G Powell and let you in on a little bit of information about El Chimpo. I understand that, and of course, things are getting really bad out there in Israel and Palestine. Well, Israelis are continuing to
Well, you know, most of the time these oil platform workers are white. At least they have been in the past. And so I haven't gotten a racial breakdown on the workers that died on that platform. But there's something still extremely mysterious about that platform exploding. Now, allegedly, something happened on April 20th. Now, you know what happens. You know what's happened in the past on April 20th. And supposedly, just before that, I guess, these VPs from BP were on that platform meeting for some reason. Some say celebrating the safety record. That's a joke. But then this whole thing explodes, and I hope someday we get to the bottom of that, of what exactly happened on April 20th. And it seemed to me there was at least a couple of guys survived. But I guess they're keeping their testimony totally under wraps, which is very interesting. But it's interesting also, like I say, that sometimes big things happen on April 20th.
Tommy, I'm reading on the news here about a lawyer gets 50 years for a Ponzi scheme, and it's beautiful because it sets a good example. This asshole thought that they would go light on him because he cooperated with them. He gave them the rope that put around his neck, and he kicked the chair out from underneath him. Himself, he fucked himself, did not trust anybody or anything they say. They went around and totally jerked him off. I don't care. He's a fucking lawyer, and he's a fucking Jew, so I can give a rat's ass. But this is a shining example of what the feds will tell you is not what you'll get.
You just need to shut the fuck up at some point. Damn. You're talking about a whole bunch of nothing. It ain't making too much sense. Sorry, you old cracker. Y'all gonna die also.
Well, that was my friend Rastus. He don't like me. Well, if I meet up with him, I think he's gonna kick off before this old cracker.
Hey, Tom. This is Lone Wolf Cody calling you from California. Hey, I saw that one of your recent news and views, like about a few weeks or a month ago, that you posted a link to IamTheWitness.com. I thought that was kind of interesting. Seems like Daryl Bradford Smith has been listening to some of your past audio files because he's started to parrot some of the things that you've been saying all along, and I think that's good. I know he's definitely not racist, and he claims to be like an eighth Indian or something like that, like Algonquin or some shit like that. But anyways, I'm always glad that, you know, at least somebody can rise above all the criticism and the name calling and the mudslinging and the bullshit and promote Daryl's work. And, you know, I credit you and Lone Wolf Wall Street for that, because Daryl, you know, despite how he feels about the racial issue, he definitely puts out some of the best qualitative information. Definitely a one-stop shopping website for Zionism. So, anyways, cheers to you, cheers to him, and that's definitely a good development.
Well, Wall Street helps me out a lot. Picks out a lot of good stuff that he runs into, because it takes a lot more than one or two guys to cover the waterfront, so to speak. So he's always out there digging around, and if we find something that's good, no matter who put it out, we're going to put it out. We're not going to not put it out just because we don't like them, because tactics are tactics as far as I'm concerned, and I can disagree on tactics, but that doesn't mean I disagree with everything a person says. As long as a person is reasonably moral and honorable, and they speak the truth, well, I'll promote it, no problem.
Job, it's the 17th Thursday. The ranking official on the Energy Commission today was making a statement apologizing for the robbery of the $20 billion from BP. And it was later mentioned that he has received over $1 million in campaign contributions from BP. Would Tom Metzger be willing to sponsor a bill when he gets to the Congress, basically making lobbyism illegal, and any elected official that accepts money from a lobby or a special interest group to influence his vote to be held guilty of a felony, possibly even, let's make it a capital crime to accept money to or any type of gift or favor to influence your vote? After all, they are supposedly there for the sole purpose of representing the people, not large groups, not corporations, not anything else. And perhaps after there were a few heads on the spikes outside the White House grounds, you know, after people were convicted of that capital crime of accepting money for their influence, maybe they could start to see a few more honest people getting into office. Let us know how you feel about that, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Well, I hope you heard that. I had my mic positioned wrong, and I don't have my line in set up. But anyhow, you wanted to know whether I'd sponsor a bill to make it a criminal offense to lobby, in other words, offer money or any kind of gratuity to a politician that's in office. Well, I just simply go back to the Rome and the Roman Senate when it was operating correctly, that if you became a senator in Rome, you had to divest yourself of all your property. You couldn't come into the Senate as a rich man. You had to come in broke. And also was just a simple toga around you. You know, similar to how the Klan did. You know, there was sort of an equality thing about the robe that even though you might wear a tuxedo or you might wear bib overhauls, when you put on the robe, you're all the same. So, I go along with that, because I don't see how you can have honest government with lobbyists. I mean, I can see lobbyists who inform politicians about their how good they are and how good their corporation is and how advanced their product is and all that kind of stuff, but to put money in the hands, and I don't think it should be legal for a politician to become a lobbyist. I think when you leave the Congress or the Senate, there should be legislation that you cannot become a lobbyist. You can do all kinds of other things. You can put your face on a box of cereal or a can of dog food, but and get paid for it, but not a lobbyist. So anyhow, that's well, of course, now it's even worse, because the Supreme Court has declared that that a corporation is a human being. Now, they keep saying, well, it's been classed as a as a person for a long time, ever since Lincoln put it in, I think. And but no, this is much worse. This is declaring that the corporation has alleged constitutional rights. I mean, they got a right to keep and bear arms and blow your ass away and fund an army to invade another country. Of course, that's pretty much what's going on anyhow. They have the right to total free speech as a human being, that they could spend any amount of money, no matter how much it is, to get somebody elected or keep them elected. I mean, once you get to this point, and of course I've said this, it's simply empire disintegrating. There's no republic to it. That died in the Civil War. So-called democracy never really happened. It's a sham democracy, just like all the democracies they call around the world. They call all these, even these communist countries, call themselves democracies. I mean, you know that you have no say in almost anything. I mean, if they wanted to have democracy in this country, they could have put a button on the front of every TV sold, and whenever there was any really important decision to be made, go to war, or real important things like that, simply come up on the screen, you press yes, no, or indifferent, and have a plebiscite, a national plebiscite. And also, you would have had proportional representation. Without proportional representation, you have a sham democracy, which is no democracy at all. So what we have today, and we've had ever since a long time, we've been empire. I mean, way back in the last century, we were empire. We were taking over islands and things all over the world and calling them protectorates for the United States. All that is empire. And the empire was doing all right as it had plenty of money. And most of the money was being ripped off people around the world. And, you know, the third world's got a grudge against us, and you can't blame them. Just look at it. Look at the East India Company and all those outfits and what the corporations have been doing for hundreds of years and in your name. And so you're blamed for it. You and I are blamed for it. And in most cases, we're kept poor because of it. So, I don't know. At this point, it's so ridiculous that it's just an empire disintegrating, and the faster it disintegrates, the better as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Tommy, I'm calling all the way from the great state of, white state of Maine, where it seems to get more and more strict every season with the migration workings coming up, the potato harvest. Don't worry, I'll vote for you this year. But, I don't know, I was on the internet, my public library, they had there earlier this evening, and I tried going to the Resist website, and they wouldn't let me on, said it was full of hate speech. Well, Jesus Christ, they gave me an option to, make a comment about why it was banned from the West, so I told them whatever happened to the free speech. I mean, they really ought to look over these sites before they decide to put them on the ban list. But, all right, thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir. You have a good one.
Well, this is another thing. They talk about free speech. Either you have total free speech, and I mean total free speech, and I've been attacked even by some of people who agree with me on everything else, that I've always declared for total free speech. If you're going to have an open society, a so-called democratic society, you have to have total free speech. Don't make any difference whether it's hate speech, love speech. I mean, you know, they use that. In other words, anything critical of Israel is hate speech. They can put that label hate on anything, and now all the public libraries where you're supposed to be the center of democratic action, real democracy, they have filters. They have filters on there, you know. Well, I come from the school that says, if you don't want to read it and you don't want to see it, don't press the button. You don't have to go there. If there's porn on there, that's porn. I don't watch it. I don't go to it. But as long as far as I'm concerned, they have a right to have it. I may, you know, get disgusted with a lot of this stuff. But if you're going to have free speech, you have to have free speech. And you can't just label something. Well, they don't label the other end of the of the story. Do you ever hear them talk about love speech? Well, if they're going to brand hate speech, they should brand love speech. You know why they won't brand love speech? Because they get laughed out of town. And when you say hate speech, everybody's afraid to say anything because they're going to say, oh, you're a hater. You're one of them, huh? Right. Screw them. Let it fall. Let it fall. Worse is better. Shut off all free speech and see what happens. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. Worse is better. And just call me Spartacus. I'm looking for the slave revolt among white people. Are you ready for the white slave revolt? Then my code word is Spartacus. 14-5. This is Thursday. I'm feeling really good. I'm ready to crack heads and take names, man. I'm telling you. So anyhow, we will be back with you tomorrow. Freya's Day. Yeah, Freya's Day. Ladies' Day. And men, appreciate your white women. If they're good partners and assisting you in your racial cause and raising your family right and the whole bit, you better pay attention to them or somebody else will. Yeah, that's right. Just remember, most people are always wrong when it's most important to be right. So don't feel bad when all these people tell you, you're a hater, you're no good, you're a liar, you don't know what you're talking about, because most people are always wrong when it's most important to be right.
Well, I was born out in the Southland 20-some-odd years ago. I ran away for the first time.
My home is on my back.